We read from two passages of Holy Scripture. First is Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4, before we turn to our text in Luke chapter 13. Our text will be Luke 13, verses 18 through 21. First, let us read the Word of God in Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and an holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruit. Let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, My lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong, for thy greatness is grown and reached unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass, in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me. And for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and mine brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. We now turn to our text, which is found in Luke chapter 13 as we continue our series through the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 13, verses 18 through 21. Then said he, and this is Jesus speaking, unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and cast into his garden, and it grew, and waxed a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodged in the branches of it. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, our text consists of 2 short parables that our Lord Jesus spoke. two short parables which on the surface seem to say so little, and yet, when explored in depth, teach very much. Jesus was a master of taking the simplest and most commonplace things of everyday life and using them as deep and profound illustrations that reveal something of the nature of the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was a master of taking those commonplace things of everyday life and using them to show us the kingdom of heaven and the deep mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And so it is here. In these two short parables, which are meant to be taken together, for they both teach the same thing, though they have slightly different emphases, these two parables reveal to us something about the beginning, the growth, and the consummation, the perfection of the kingdom of heaven. These two parables reveal to us something about what takes place between the beginning of the kingdom, its planting as a seed at the first coming of Christ, and its final consummation on the day of the second coming of Christ. These parables reveal something about the work of God, the work of God's grace in the hearts of His people, in the world, throughout the entirety of the New Testament dispensation. In these parables, Jesus teaches that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is so very different from the kingdoms of the world. There is nothing more grand and glorious as God's kingdom. As we read in Daniel, the kingdom of the Most High is an eternal kingdom. God's dominion is a dominion without boundaries, and it extends from everlasting to everlasting. And yet that kingdom, as it comes in the hearts of God's people, in the church, it's a kingdom that comes with a small beginning, which grows mysteriously, silently, and often without observation. So very different from the grand and glorious and outwardly impressive kingdoms of men, built on man's power and man's genius and man's wealth, such as the great kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, the greatest empire the world had seen to that time. A great kingdom of man that was like a grand tree that grew and outspread its branches, the fruit of which fed the whole world. But what were the ends of those kingdoms? The kingdom of God is the everlasting kingdom. The great kingdoms of men shall be hewed down and destroyed. There's one eternal kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ, the kingdom that we have been made members of by grace. And so there's much encouragement in these simple yet beautiful and profound parables that we consider tonight. As we live in the new dispensation, often it seems as though the kingdoms of the world are in ascendancy. They rise. They are powerful. They are great. But where is the kingdom of God? The church seems to shrink. The preaching of the gospel seems to be powerless. Missions don't seem to bring forth fruit. Where is the kingdom of God when all, at times, we can see is the towering tree of Babylon? Beautiful parables of Jesus comfort the church as they show us what God is doing throughout the whole New Testament. He's planted His kingdom like a little mustard seed. He's growing that kingdom. He's growing it in a quiet way, like leaven leavening a lump of dough, till the day that that kingdom is the great tree that outspreads and encompasses all of the new creation. It's an encouraging word here as we pray and look for the coming of that kingdom. As we live in the midst of the kingdoms of this world, not a part of them, but as citizens who have our conversation above, comfort strengthens our faith and builds our hope. Now, one last thing to see by way of introduction is the connection of this passage, our text today, to what went before it. Last Sunday night, we looked at Jesus' miracle of healing the woman who is bent over because she was afflicted by a spirit of infirmity. Jesus spoke this parable right after He had healed that woman in that synagogue in Perea. There's a connection that's indicated by the grammar of the text. You notice the first word of verse 18. The word then, which could also be translated therefore. The idea is that after Jesus had healed the woman and perhaps left the synagogue, he turned to his disciples. And then he speaks these two parables. And these two parables reflect on what he had just done in the synagogue. What had Jesus just done? He brought the kingdom. The kingdom grew. The kingdom advanced. Though so many did not see it. How did the kingdom grow? Through the throwing down of the kingdom of Satan and the lifting and loosing of that poor woman who was one of the daughters of Abraham. The kingdom grew when Jews among that congregation were brought to salvation through faith in Christ. The mustard seed was planted. The mustard seed grew. The leaven was leavening. The kingdom was coming. So let's consider these beautiful parables of the kingdom. Let us do so under the theme, like a seed and like leaven, so the kingdom. Notice in the first place, two illustrations. Secondly, three lessons that we receive from those illustrations. And thirdly, one comfort. Jesus teaches us about the kingdom of God using the figures of a grain of a mustard seed and the figure of a bit of leaven, which is put into a batch of dough before that dough is baked into bread. Now, before we explain these two illustrations, let us first refresh ourselves as to the biblical concept of the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's a wide and expansive concept in Scripture, a beautiful concept, one of the concepts that figures very largely in Jesus' teaching and preaching. What's the kingdom? Well, the kingdom is not like man's kingdom, physical, temporal kingdom of man, but the kingdom of God is Christ's rule of grace. It's Christ's rule of grace in the hearts and over the lives of His redeemed people through His Spirit and Word. That's the kingdom of God in a nutshell. It's Christ's rule of grace in the hearts and over the lives of His redeemed people by means of His Word and through His Spirit. You can unpack that and see how all of the elements we typically associate with a kingdom fit here in our understanding of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has a king who rules, and the king is God, who rules through Christ, His anointed Son, who is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The king whose government only increases and shall have no end. The king who rules and subdues his enemies with a rod of iron and who tends to and cares for his citizens with the shepherd's staff of grace. The kingdom of God with its king Jesus Christ has subjects, and the subjects are the redeemed elect, God's people, citizens chosen by God, citizens who were by nature citizens of the kingdom of the devil, but whom by grace, the king is captured, conquered, not in a horribly cruel, violent way, but in a wonderful, loving way. By his grace, he has captured them and taken them for himself. He has translated them out of darkness into the marvelous light of his kingdom. That's you and me. That's all of God's people throughout the ages, his citizens, the redeemed by grace. Those who have been given new birth into the kingdom by the Spirit. So that we are no longer born merely of the flesh, but we are born of water and spirit. The kingdom has a king, Jesus. The kingdom has subjects, the redeemed people of God. The kingdom has territory, a realm over which the king rules by his grace. And that realm is my heart and your heart. The king took us for his citizens and translated us out of darkness into his kingdom. He pushed down Satan's throne that was in our hearts, and he set up his throne in our hearts. And by his Spirit and by his Word, he rules from our heart. And from his throne in our heart, he exercises his royal rule over all of our life, so that not only our heart, but all of our life is the realm and the territory of the kingdom of God. King rules by grace over that territory. Like every kingdom has a law, so too the kingdom of heaven has a law. And the law of the kingdom of heaven is the word of God. This is the means that the King uses by His Spirit to govern us, to shape us, to reform us, to fit us for life in His kingdom. He makes us willing in the day of His power. He makes us willing and loving servants and citizens in His kingdom, who love to live under His law. This kingdom of heaven then has an earthly manifestation in the world, and that's the church. The church, which is the gathering of the redeemed citizens, those who have been redeemed by grace, those in whose hearts the King sits enthroned. They gather together, they congregate. That's the church. That's the kingdom of heaven in the midst of this world made visibly manifest. Just as every kingdom has riches and privileges and honors, so too the kingdom of heaven beyond all others. What are the riches of this kingdom that the citizens enjoy? All of the blessings of salvation obtained by Jesus Christ. The spoils of the conquest of Calvary. Not silver and gold, something far better. Righteousness, forgiveness of sins, life eternal. The kingdom of God is not a kingdom of food, of meat and drink, but a kingdom of peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Finally, this kingdom of God, which has a king, which has subjects, which has a realm, which has a law, which has an earthly manifestation, which has riches and privileges, this kingdom also goes to war. It makes territorial expansion. The rule of Christ's grace is a conquering rule of grace. It expands because there are elect who are born out in the kingdoms of the world, in the darkness of the devil's dominion, and the rule of grace must extend to them. And through the proclamation of the gospel sounding forth from the church, Christ marches out as the king ahead of his army, and he captures new citizens for his kingdom, conquering them by grace. That's the territorial expansion of the kingdom of God. What a glorious kingdom! And this kingdom is a reality now, right now. You and I are members of this kingdom. We're citizens. We're sons. We're daughters. We're soldiers in the army of Christ. And we're looking forward to the day that the kingdom, which already is, will be perfected on the day of our Lord's return. That's the kingdom in a nutshell. Now, Jesus says, that kingdom is like a mustard seed. And like leaven, which a woman took and put in 3 measures of meal. Now we come to the illustrations. Jesus asks, in verse 18, unto what is the kingdom of God like? And whereunto shall I resemble it? He asks those 2 questions to prompt interest in his disciples. Yes, what is this kingdom of God like? In verses 19 and 21, Jesus tells us what it is like. It is like the grain of a mustard seed. It is like a little pinch of leaven. There is the central connection in the parable. Whenever we interpret parables, we have to ask, what's the main point of comparison? What's the core of the picture? And what is the spiritual reality that that picture corresponds to? And here it is in these 2 parables. The picture, the illustration, the mustard seed and the leaven, the spiritual reality, the kingdom of God. And now these 2 illustrations are going to teach us something about the kingdom. So let's dig into these 2 illustrations, starting with the first. Our Lord teaches us that this kingdom is like a grain of a mustard seed. That's striking, isn't it? And that would have been very striking to the disciples, who operated with this view of the kingdom. When the kingdom of God comes, it's going to be a physical earthly kingdom. It's going to be glorious. There's going to be a new king in Jerusalem. The Romans are going to be pushed back to Italy. And there's going to be a glorious reign of the Messianic king in Jerusalem. Wealth and riches for the Jews. Jesus says to them, you want to know what my kingdom is like? Not a giant army pushing the Romans out of Jerusalem. It's a mustard seed. A little leaven. Striking. Unexpected. Mustard seed was a very, very small seed. If you look back to one of the parallel passages, Matthew 13, in fact, it's not really a parable or a parallel because Jesus told this particular parable on two occasions. Earlier in his ministry, in Matthew 13, verses 31 through 35, Jesus told these same parables in a different context. But there you will read that Jesus speaks about the mustard seed as being the least of all seeds. What he's saying there is not that the mustard seed is the smallest seed in existence, but it's the smallest seed that was typically used by gardeners and farmers in the land of Palestine. Gardeners and farmers would grow a whole bunch of crops, but the one with the very smallest seed was the mustard plant. So Jesus says the parable is like a mustard seed which a man takes and he plants it in his garden. And that mustard seed grows. And it grows into a giant plant. Matthew 13, Jesus says, the greatest of herbs, referring to the fact that it grew into the greatest of crops, the largest crop that was typically grown by farmers and gardeners in Palestine. And Jesus' point is to show the contrast between the tiny little seed and the great plant that grew from that tiny little seed. The mustard tree was really a shrub, but it was a tree-like shrub. It could grow upwards of 10 all the way up to 15 feet tall, and would outspread its branches wide. It would become so big that the birds of the air could lodge in those branches and feed upon its seeds. A giant plant from a little seed. That's Jesus' rule of grace. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, sowed in the field of the world, sowed by God the Father. Small. That seed falls in the good soil of human hearts, prepared by God's grace, the human hearts of God's elect. And the kingdom begins there. But it doesn't remain that small seed. It grows, grows, until it becomes a great and glorious plant. It's a picture of the kingdom. But now the second illustration. The kingdom of God, Jesus said, is also like leaven. Leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Leaven is yeast. Yeast is a little organism. It's a microorganism that causes fermentation. It's put into dough or meal, and what that yeast does is it eats the sugar and the starch, and it releases carbon dioxide, and it causes that dough to rise. The yeast works its way through the dough until the whole lump of dough is fully leavened. The picture is of a woman who is baking bread for her family, and she takes a little piece of dough from perhaps yesterday's bread, which has leaven in it, just a little bit, a little pinch of leavened dough. She hides it in a big lump. 3 measures, the text says. A large quantity of meal. She works it in, kneads that dough, and then sets it aside. That leaven gets to work, leavening, until it works its way through the entire lump of dough. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like that little pinch of leaven, that little piece of leavened dough put into that mass of dough. The kingdom is hidden. But when it's hidden, it's there, and it's working, it's active. When the kingdom is hidden in the heart of a child of God, it's working, it's changing things, it's transforming. It works its way through the whole person, like leaven does through the dough. And so those are the basic illustrations for the kingdom of heaven, contrasted with the kingdoms of the world and the faulty messianic expectations of the Jews in his day, both which are outwardly glorious, but are destined for destruction. The kingdom of heaven, which is most glorious, but in this world seems so small, you almost can't perceive it. You almost can't see it working. And that brings us now to the lessons. There are three main lessons that these two illustrations teach us. Three main lessons about the kingdom of God. And so the first lesson has to do with the beginning of the kingdom. Jesus teaches us a lesson about the beginning of the kingdom of God. How the kingdom of God first comes in the heart of the child of God. Christ's rule of grace has a very small beginning. Kingdom of God begins just like a mustard seed planted in the earth. It begins like that pinch of leaven. And it works in such a way that seems humble, lowly, even insignificant in the eyes of men. This accords with what Jesus says later in the Gospel according to Luke. If you flip over to Luke 17, Luke 17 verses 20 and 21. Here Jesus is also teaching about the kingdom. And he's refuting the wrong notion of the Pharisees who held that messianic dream that the kingdom was going to be an earthly kingdom, some great political force that's going to set itself up in Jerusalem. And what does Jesus say about the kingdom? Verses 20 and 21 of Luke 17. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." That is, it's not something huge and big that you're going to see with the eyes. "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there.' Behold, the kingdom of God is within you." There's the small beginning of the kingdom. What is that small beginning? Well, for the individual child of God, the small beginning is regeneration. What is regeneration? Regeneration is spiritual resurrection, spiritual new birth. It's that wonder work of Christ by His Spirit, in which He plants the seed of His own new life in our hearts. And that's what raises us from spiritual death. That's what gives us new life. That's what gives us the faculty of faith, the ability to believe. That's the very beginning of the kingdom. It's that seed of new life planted in the soil of our inmost beings. You can't see it with these eyes of the flesh. Little seed. A little seed. It's powerful, potent. It's only destined to grow into something extraordinary. The new life of Christ planted at regeneration is what translates us out of darkness into light. That's our new birth into the kingdom. That's what makes us a citizen of the kingdom. That's the territorial expansion of the Lord Jesus Christ as He reclaims His people from the dominion of the devil and establishes His throne in their hearts. And though it is a miraculous, wonderful act of divine power, by all appearances, it's so very small. So very insignificant. Most people won't even see it with their eyes. See its effects in a new life. But it's a little seed planted deep in the core of your being. A small spiritual mustard seed in the heart. And what's true of the individual believer is true of the church. How does the kingdom come? Great armies? Great movements of nations? Great movements of people? Political maneuvering? No. The kingdom comes through that humble, lowly, and often despised foolishness of the preaching of the gospel. And the Spirit works, and He uses His word. He plants seeds. Little spiritual mustard seeds throughout the world. Little communities of believers arise and grow. Little mustard plants throughout the world. So insignificant, absolutely nothing in the eyes of men compared to the glorious outspread tree of Babylon. But the little mustard seed's going to grow and become the only kingdom that will endure into eternity. That's the mustard seed. And so there's application here for us. A couple of points of application from this first lesson drawn from the parable. First, there's assurance of our salvation here. Beautiful assurance. That little seed of regeneration can never be destroyed. It's the wonderwork of grace planted in your heart. All it can do is grow and grow and grow. It's an imperishable seed. God's people who know they're citizens of the kingdom by faith, we know we're weak. We're fallible. We're often faltering soldiers of the king, but we're citizens of the kingdom. We see by faith that seed of new life in our hearts. We see that seed of new life in our loved ones, covenant parents and your children. And it blossoms. And it's assurance. Faith doesn't have to doubt its salvation. We see the work of God. The good work that He begins, He performs till completion. Small beginning, yes, we have. And often we're beset by sins, and it seems like, oh, our beginning at holiness is so very small. And it is. But that mustard seed of regeneration, that mustard seed of new life, cannot be taken, cannot be destroyed. There's real assurance there. But a second application. Despise not the day of small things or small beginnings. It can be a temptation when we look at the world, when we look at churches that have fallen away and how they seem to burgeon in their numbers as they get rid of the preaching of the gospel and adopt all of the ingenious methods of man, marketing their church, raking in money, gathering people into giant mega sanctuaries with praise bands and all kinds of other things that excite people. See nations of the world, wicked men who spread out like green bay trees in their prosperity. The kingdom of God seems so small. Remember what the mustard seed is and what it's growing to be. That whole tree is contained there in that mustard seed. We can't see it now, but the whole eternal kingdom is contained in that mustard seed. The glorious kingdom of Nebuchadnezzar, great it seemed, but it was only destined to be cut down. Encouragement for God's people. For God's churches, small though they may be, the kingdom is never great and glorious in the eyes of men. Think of Jesus' day. The Messiah himself came. He preached the gospel. He gathered a few followers, was rejected by most, and ended up being crucified on the cross. And yet there the kingdom was planted. There was victory over the devil and his whole dominion. Yet to the eye, one would think defeat. The kingdom of God is like unto a mustard seed and a little leaven. That's the first lesson. Small beginnings that are destined to grow. And that brings us to the next lesson. Jesus in this parable teaches us about the growth of the kingdom. How the rule of Christ's grace expands, extends. And that is especially taught in the parable of the leaven. We read in the text that a woman took leaven. She took a little bit of leaven. And she hid it in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. And there's a few things to observe here. In the first place, that leaven is taken and it's hidden. And what does that leaven do? It works hidden and mysterious growth. Just like a seed also planted beneath the soil. You don't see what's happening, but it's growing. It's putting down roots. It's sprouting. So too the leaven. You can't see what's happening, but it's fermenting. It's working. It's penetrating through that dough. Both the seed and leaven carry the idea of a hidden, mysterious power, invisible to the eye of the flesh, but which is always working. An internal power, working from within, to transform from within. And that's exactly how Jesus expands His kingdom. That's exactly how the kingdom grows. Jesus' word goes forth, and God's grace works in hearts like leaven. Grace hidden in the heart, working powerfully, changing a man from the inside out. That's what God does with each of us. Bending our wills sweetly to harmonize with His word. Transforming our affections from love for sin to love of godliness. Strengthening our faith. Kindling love for God. Kindling ardent hope for the coming fulfillment of the kingdom. And so much more. All of that is the mysterious hidden work of grace in the heart. The leaven of the kingdom working. A hidden, mysterious power. So there's application for that for us here too. That's how God's grace works. The kingdom of God grows in a very different way than the kingdoms of the world. It grows quietly. It grows in a way that's not going to attract great attention. But the rule of grace grows, and it keeps growing. Can't be stopped from growing. We don't always see the results, but we trust our King, who's working by His grace and by His word, gathering His citizens, building His citizens, strengthening His kingdom. A hidden, mysterious power of the kingdom. But also in this idea of the leaven, showing us the growth of the kingdom, we see that God's grace works by His word as a pervasive and powerful grace. Not only does the kingdom have growth that is hidden and mysterious, but it's also a pervasive and powerful growth. That leaven, when put into that lump of dough, it didn't just transform a little part of the dough. But it would penetrate through the entire lump. It would completely leaven the whole. So that bread, fully leavened, would be put into the oven. And the whole lump of dough would rise and become a loaf of bread. Pervasive. And therefore powerful. That's grace. Christ sets up His throne in the hearts of His people. He doesn't just segment a part of us off and that's His kingdom and He leaves the rest to the devil. No, He sets up His throne and grace takes over all that we are. Grace exercises its power over our whole life. Christ claims all of who we are for Himself. Now yes, it's a reality in this life. We have that old man of sin. Until the day of our death, when we're finally free of that old man, there's always a struggle within us. There's a battle between the new life of Christ and that old sinful flesh. But nonetheless, Christ reigns supreme. His grace conquers. His grace lays claim. His grace transforms from within. Leaven pictures that. The growth of the Christian in grace. Throughout his entire life, that grace is working pervasively, powerfully. That's how God's grace works in the church. Even when we don't see great numerical growth, perhaps, that's how God's grace works in the mission field. Even when we perhaps don't see a lot of fruit, God's grace is there. It's working. Hidden, mysterious, pervasive, powerful. And that growth of the kingdom, the leaven also teaches, is steady and gradual. The woman took that little pinch of leaven, put it in that lump of dough, set the lump of dough there for a while, and over time, steadily, gradually, that leaven leavened the whole lump. And that's God's will for the kingdom too. God has ordained that His kingdom come throughout the entire new dispensation, throughout the whole New Testament, beginning with the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and ending with His second coming. all throughout the New Testament, there is steady, gradual growth of the kingdom in the lives of individual believers and in the church. That kingdom comes. And so the calling for us is patience, trust. Again, we see that towering tree of King Nebuchadnezzar. It's not cut down yet. It seems so great. We see the men of the world prospering in their wickedness. We're tempted to doubt. These parables call our attention back to the work of grace. Steady, gradual. Wait on the Lord. He is accomplishing His will always, even when we can't see it. The kingdom is coming. The mustard seed is growing. The dough is being leavened. The day of the Lord's coming will be here swiftly. So now we come to the third lesson. We've seen the first lesson about the small beginning of the kingdom. We've seen the lesson about how the kingdom grows like leaven leavens a lump of dough. Now Jesus teaches a lesson about the glorious end of the kingdom. The consummation of the kingdom. And again, how different this will be from the kingdoms of the world. In the world, the kingdom of God seems so small. It's like a mustard seed, like a pinch of leaven in a lump of dough. Whereas the kingdoms of man are like the towering tree of Nebuchadnezzar that spreads throughout the whole world. But what's the end of Nebuchadnezzar? Well, we saw that in the vision that Daniel interprets. An angel comes down. The angel says in that vision, hew the tree down. Cut it down. Break off its branches. Scatter its leaves. Nebuchadnezzar was taught through that God reigns. But in that is also a picture of the end of destruction that will come to every kingdom of man. To the kingdom of Antichrist himself. He will be hewn down. Indeed, already the axe is at the root of the tree. But what about the kingdom of God, pictured in the parable? That mustard seed, which was germinating throughout the New Testament, it grows and it becomes that great tree. And it outspreads its branches, and the fowls of the air find a place to lodge in its branches. That leaven, which was leavening the dough, now has fully leavened it, and is baked, and becomes a loaf of bread. This is a picture of the end, the glorious consummation of the kingdom of God. And what a glorious kingdom it will be! It will be perfect, fully mature. That tree, his branches outspread, and the birds lodging in it, is a picture of perfect peace, prosperity, safety, joy. Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom seems so great. The animals would come and feed under the tree, find shelter. But there was no security there. That kingdom failed. That tree was cut down. But this tree will be forever. Here's true security. The kingdom of God. That tree that will be forever planted beside the rivers of living water. To use the imagery in Revelation. A glorious kingdom. What a glorious kingdom it will be. And that's the kingdom we're a part of. We sojourn for a little while in this earth. Scorned people of God. Outcasts among the people of the world. Persecuted, hated, in the world but not of the world, pilgrims, citizens of this kingdom, passing through, fighting the good fight of faith, view to this day, the final perfection of the kingdom of God, a kingdom that's perfect. There'll be no sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no pain, no evil. All of that will be banished and gone forever. And we ourselves will be perfected. We will be like that lump of dough that has been fully leavened, fully perfected, fully transformed. Our sin will be gone. Our sinful natures will be gone. Every sinful inclination will be gone. Our tears will be wiped away. Our sufferings will be a distant memory. We will be perfected. perfected citizens in that perfected kingdom. We will be like the Lord Jesus Christ himself. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. All contained in these homely illustrations of Jesus. The whole New Testament pictured a little mustard seed, a little lump of leaven. So that leads us to the one comfort. Having seen these illustrations and what they teach us about the kingdom, what's our comfort? Our comfort is Christ. These two parables both point us to the person of Jesus Christ. The coming, the growth, and the final perfection of the kingdom. It doesn't depend on us. It all depends on the Lord Jesus Christ. He establishes his kingdom. And because it depends on him, it cannot fail. Jesus establishes his kingdom through his messianic work. That's what he was doing that day in Perea when he told these parables. He was there to establish his kingdom. He was there to go to the cross, to die for his people, to satisfy for their sins, to obtain forgiveness, to obtain their citizenship in this kingdom. He had come to be raised from the dead in newness of life, to impart that new kingdom life to his people. Ultimately, the mustard seed of the kingdom is Jesus Christ himself. The leaven is Jesus Christ himself. He is the kingdom. The whole kingdom arises out of the king himself. Jesus was the seed that the Father sent into the world, planted in the world at the incarnation. Jesus was the seed that fell to the ground and died, that it may rise again. And he rose. He was a seed planted in the tomb, and on the third day he arose, the first fruits of the new creation, the firstborn from the dead, the immortal king of God's kingdom. He is the bread of life who feeds and nourishes his people. He is that leaven that transforms us. We're united to Christ. Christ is formed in us, as the Apostle Paul says, and we are conformed to Christ. He transforms us. In union with him, we are refashioned as new creatures in Christ, refashioned after his image. He is the seed and the leaven. The king is the kingdom. Through union with Christ, we are made members of his body. We are made partakers of all of his riches and blessings, of everything he obtained on the cross of Calvary. We are made a part of that glorious tree that grows out of the mustard seed. We are made a part of that loaf of bread that's leavened, that's baked in the oven of affliction in this world. Beautiful Catholic Church, made of many grains mixed together. Christ, it's all about him. He is our comfort, our king. So, beloved, as we live in this New Testament age, as we live in this dark world, as we live in the midst of the kingdoms of the world that rise and fall, let us remember who we are. We are citizens of this kingdom. And let us not grow discouraged when it seems as though the kingdom is small, like a mustard seed. It's growing, hidden, mysteriously, pervasively, powerfully, like that leaven, till the day of its perfection, when we will be with Christ forever in the new creation, the kingdom without end. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts tonight. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for these beautiful parables. Simple though they are, they teach us such profound truth about thy kingdom. May that kingdom come in our hearts, in the church. May thy kingdom come through the gathering of thy people until the day the Lord Jesus come and make his kingdom perfect. Our comfort is all in thee. Our comfort is in our King who reigns, who has accomplished our salvation, who died, who has risen again, that we may have life and have life forevermore. So bless us through this word. May it feed and strengthen us. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.